Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face.
All right, let's fucking do this shit. The apathy has settled in.
It's permeating.
Oh, God. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 281. This is Jorge.
Saw dudes. This is Matt.
Not much tonight from him.
Not much. He doesn't have much tonight.
We had a lot of pre-show dialogue, so I've had a lot of hits of this magical pen.
Welcome, everybody, to the Who Goes There podcast. This is Rhett.
Not bad.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Are you all hyphy now?
Huh? I'm hyphy. I'm very hyphy. I'm put this fucking hippo down so I can gesticulate wildly now.
Mm.
Damn, he's fucking high.
It's true. What's up? How's it going?
What's up? How's it going?
It's fucking good. How you flowing? Good. Had a week off. Felt great.
From what?
From work.
I thought you were just off.
What do you mean just off?
Like, I thought the last like month you've been off.
No. I've been working every day. Just feels like I'm off. But no, I had an actual, like 8-day vacation.
Just do with yourself.
Just stayed at home, did house chores, getting set up, just spending good time with the wife, getting sleep.
Mm.
It's quite nice.
Nice.
Did a whole lot of fucking nothing. It was like satanic hot outside in the middle of October.
It do be happening like that.
Trying to do handyman things. Built my bed frame. That worked out real good. Tried to do that floating shelf. Not so much. Probably going to wind up taking that whole thing down and just buying one because like I don't feel comfortable with it. And also those walls are plaster and I feel like it's going to tear the whole wall down. So
I mean, if you hit a stud, you're fine.
So what I had to do, and this is fantastic. And as Rhett said last week, like five times, horror fans love this. I had to take a board and I had to drill the board into two studs and then put like the brackets on the board.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, but the problem is it's holding on like the one side, but then the other one, the screw has come completely out of the wall. It's only holding onto the plywood and it's like leaning forward quite visibly.
So, oh, you fucked it up then.
Yeah, this is why I needed your sage Mexican wisdom.
Handy Manny.
Yeah. Handy Manuel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's my week. That's what's been going on.
All right.
I watched a shitload of movies, though.
So what'd you watch?
We can get to that now.
Yeah, we'll do it one at a time.
Since I watched so many, I'm just kind of going to name them off. And if there's anything you care to hear my opinion on, you've probably already heard it, but I'm just going to tell you. I watched As Above, So Below.
That's a good flick.
That was for Shaky Cam Night. It's pretty good. Are you doing a thing? Yeah, it was 31 Days of Halloween. Okay. And then there was Carving Pumpkins, which was Trick or Treat.
Obviously, great.
A Halloween
Smashing
classic.
Pumpkins, I love that band.
Then 80s horror, so I did Maniac,
which
is great. Have you seen Maniac, Rhett?
I've never seen either Maniac.
Mm, you should watch both.
Yeah.
You should watch both.
Yeah.
It's got one of the greatest scenes in horror history and like one of the best scenes in like guerrilla filmmaking.
When they scalp somebody, dude?
No, when they shoot somebody in the face with a shotgun through a car window. It's amazing. They did it for real, like not shot somebody in the face, but like they drove up on this
Son of Sam and just had him shoot people on camera.
They drove up on this lookout and they had, you know, them shoot a shotgun through a car window into a mold of Tom Savini's head, and then they had to like speed off before the cops came. So it's pretty cool, actually.
The cops must have been very confused.
Yeah, right?
They're just like,
what is this head doing laying here? I watched the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre for 70s night. Then I watched Scream for 90s night.
Ooh, how does Scream holding up?
Quite well, surprisingly. It's the first time I've seen it in a long time. And it made me come to the realization that Amazon edits their movies.
Oh, yeah. This is the thing.
So, like...
Yeah. Yes.
I had thought I noticed it was something else that I watched, but when I was watching Scream specifically, there's that scene where the two killers are stabbing each other at the end, And Matthew Lillard gets stabbed the one time, and then he gets stabbed like two or three more times. And then, you know, he bleeds out and he goes, I'm getting a little woozy here. Mm-hmm. He got stabbed the first time, and then it kind of awkwardly cuts. And then suddenly he's covered in blood and drooling and says, I'm getting a little woozy. So they cut out like a good 5 to 10 second clip there.
Mm-hmm.
For who knows what reason. And I guess all four of the Hatchet films are all chopped up. And so I guess this is kind of that.
Chopped up.
I guess this is that thing we were hearing about Amazon cracking down on what they considered like extreme content.
They've been doing that for a while now.
We heard about it, but I, you know, all I'd heard was just stuff getting taken off because of the cover art or, you
know. That's really fucking troubling, honestly.
Yeah, right?
Because it's not, it's bad enough if it's at Walmart. And they start doing that bullshit. But
well, see, in Walmart, I think with the movies generally only changes titles.
That's what I'm saying. The titles are the packaging. They're not going to actually make modifications to the fucking movie.
Right.
To the piece itself.
Yeah, like calling, what was that Christmas movie, George?
Black Christmas.
No.
Black motherfucking Christmas.
It was like a Christmas Massacre or something, and they changed it to like Holiday Massacre or something like that.
But, well, and then they had Satanic Panic and they called it Panic.
Yeah. So like, I mean, but things like that fucking largely don't affect your enjoyment of the film, but like cutting out, you know, a big chunk of like an important scene just because you consider it excessively violent, you know, that's
not pretty good.
That's not good at all.
Well, it's not good either.
That's not nice.
So that means they got the rights to show the film and rent the film. So that means, does that mean the distributor and the filmmaker are okay with it?
See, I'd seen a thing too that said, because I kind of went digging around on the internet for stuff like this, and somebody on Reddit had said, like, as somebody who works in, like, you know, distribution or whatever, it's probably the cut that the production company sent to Amazon. And I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me, because why would you cut something that's so, like, it may not feel important, but it is an important scene. And the transition is so glaring because he's wearing this big white sweater. So the blood is really obvious. So he goes from no blood and getting stabbed on his left side to then being drenched in blood on his right side.
I wonder if there's a difference between the version that is streamed and the version that you rent. I'd be curious to see if, like,
maybe
if because Amazon said, hey, like, we'll have it on the platform, but we've got to make some edits, or if they're like, hey, if you're paying for it, you get the
Well, no, because I'm pretty sure we paid for this one because it wasn't available on streaming.
Hmm.
But yeah.
I don't know. That's weird.
Let's see. Scream, blah, blah, blah. Oh, and then the last movie I watched was a little film called Santa Jaws.
Sci-fi channel original type film?
I thought so. And the first 5 minutes were very sci-fi original. And then it got very ABC Family Christmas special.
Mm-hmm.
With like a bit of really bad CGI sprinkled in.
Okay.
It was a lot funnier than it deserved to be. I gave it a solid 2.5 out of 5.
Are you serious?
It's a fun kids movie. It's not good by like any sense, but like it does have a good production value. And yeah, dude, it feels like a movie you would put on at Christmas, like if you had like young nephews or something, you know. Yeah,
like that,
just like that.
That's Boss Nass. Boss Nass. I was just about to say that.
Is that what you do to your young nephews?
What? What about what? I don't got no fucking nephews, bro. No? No. Well, and I have a sister, but she was, yeah, as you know, she was born when I was like 16. So, but nonetheless, she is married to a woman. So I will have no fucking nephews, thank you.
Not with what that if attitude.
She adopts a nephew, son? No nephew of mine.
What if
not my president?
What if one of them are artificially inseminated?
Okay.
What if one of them...
They don't have a nephew.
What if one of them gets doused in a vat of toxic waste and, like, you know, their testes transform to, like, testicles?
Then I will revere and love. And love him.
Or her.
Or her. Correct. Or their preferred pronouns.
Or
them.
Or it, because, you know, with toxic waste, it might be a thing.
Very few things in this world prefer to be called an it. But if it does, I will.
but it will not be my nephew.
All right. Neat.
Great.
Cool. He's the high one.
I am.
Are you all done?
I'm done.
Brett, how was your week?
It was good. You know what's stressful?
Everything.
Work. Jobs are stressful. Like, having a real job is stress.
Yeah.
It's all this pressure.
Just got to do
things.
You know
what helps with that?
Like, what's
drinking?
Like, what in the world are people up to just like making themselves like, well, no, dude, now we got to do it this way to make things interesting. Now do this way. And then you got to click this box for this thing and this thing. Cause you don't just work, like you do work about the work and then you document the work and then the documentation takes longer than the fucking service. And it's like, what the fuck is all this about? What are we doing here? Anyway, otherwise the week's been really good. Sophia and hi, I Sophia. Are doing really well, really well. So in love. Just
that means they're having problems. That
there's something going on.
No, let me, no, really. Let me sound sarcastic. Oh, no, really well.
Let me give you a little relationship tip. Anytime somebody talks about how good their relationship is,
it's going so well.
It's not.
That's not
like no. So when you see somebody, like if I ever see Sophia post on, and it's not your birthday or your anniversary, if I see her post a picture of you, so lucky to have this man,
instantly think like there's that, something wrong.
Something's wrong.
Yeah.
Something, or she's cheating on you.
But you guys just did that.
Or she's cheating on you. Jesus Christ.
Well, and same thing. If you, I mean, you're kind of,
she could be cheating on me and not post anything.
Well, though. I know. But when she does post something like that, it's, oh my it's God. Guilt.
But what about when you and Alia posted pictures of like how much you loved each other at your little fucking camping glamping?
That was more of like.
Was what you're talking
no,
about.
No, I posted. Yeah, he's got I posted, you there. I posted the environment, not.
No, you know, no, no. You were on a fucking. Yeah. Roof and she took a picture of you. Okay, no,
see, and there's a difference between taking a picture of something you're doing together and then
there's no difference.
No, there is.
But I doubt that you're cheating on each other because that doesn't happen with you guys.
If you and Sophia go on a hike and you take a picture and it's like, hey, I went on a hike, that's normal. But if you post a picture of just her,
hey, Matt,
and you're like,
my question is, now I feel like you're projecting.
Maybe I am.
Now, because something's going on here. I don't understand. Maybe you should stop.
But I know I sounded sarcastic. I sounded sarcastic. But what did we watch?
Oh.
The Trial of the Chicago 7.
Okay.
It is not. This is not horror, but it's on Netflix, and it would be in theaters if theaters were being a big thing, which they're not.
They're continuously being a smaller thing.
Yes, and that doesn't seem to appear to be changing anytime soon. But this film is fucking great. It's based on a true story about these protesters in 1969, I believe, I would assume, who were kind of falsely taken up for conspiring to start a riot. Because the state was like, we need to send a clear message. Anyway, mm-hmm. Aaron Sorkin writes it and directs it. Aaron Sorkin did Social Network and a bunch of other stuff, like A Few Good Men. Anyway, he writes fucking great screenplays. And the writing.
Social Dilemma, you mean?
The Social Network. He wrote the Social
Network. Oh, right. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
The Eisenface.
Yeah. Well, I love that movie, but I was like, this.
Eisenberg playing. It's like a reptile playing reptile.
You're right.
Yeah. You love that movie, huh?
I do love that movie.
Social Network?
Name three of its albums.
Three of its albums. Oh, you like Trent Reznor, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I can name three of its tracks, dude. Handcuffs, Bruise. Never mind.
That Fuck You Like an Animal one.
Yeah, that's a good one, dude.
No, off the fucking Social Network.
And that Perfect Drug one.
The Perfect Drug is tight.
It is. That song is hella tight.
That's a good song. You know what movie that was written for?
The Lost Highway, and it was the best thing about that movie. Got him.
You just fucking gave Rhett an aneurysm.
Shut me down. This movie
is it bedtime already?
Down like RoboCop.
Beep boop boop.
Trial of Chicago 7, needless to say, is very timely. The cast is fucking amazing. It's got a great cast. Sacha Baron Cohen, Jake Gyllenhaal. Ooh, what's
Borat
his name?
Borat 2 comes out this Friday.
Borat 2 comes out this Friday. So Borat is doing all sorts of stuff right now, and well, it's got a bunch of other people.
Not anymore right now.
Eddie Redmayne. Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You would really fucking like this movie, George.
Okay.
Then I saw a documentary.
George doesn't like anything.
It's true.
Sophia. Hi, Sophia.
No, we already did that.
I'm doing it again. Just like I said it last week.
No, when I did it again. You get one. You can't keep doing it.
I did it.
No, you can't.
I did it.
We're not giving it to you. You're trying to take it.
I'm going
to
delete it.
You can delete it.
Don't tread on me,
mark
dude.
It, George.
Mark it.
Please don't step on snake.
Don't fuck
no,
on me.
No steppy snake.
Don't fuck on me.
We saw... Yeah, don't fuck like that. We saw a documentary called Time. We actually took the time to go... We took the time to watch Time.
Stupid.
At the Hillcrest
shit,
Landmark
you because we want to go to the theater. Amazon Prime, right?
Huh? Yeah, I know. I know, but we had a fandango.
We have
a fandango thing, and we wanted to see it in the theater. And it was really, it is on Amazon Prime, and I'd recommend watching it.
The theater.
Very good documentary about a couple that committed a crime years and years ago. And it was the husband had it was a charge of armed robbery for trying to rob a bank, and he got 60 years for it, which is a little harsh. And
is it? That's the government's money.
Yeah. It's a little harsh.
How
considering rapists get out in 2 or 3, like, yeah, it's a little harsh.
Yeah, but that's not the government's.
But did they kill somebody, though?
No, they didn't kill anybody. It's armed robbery. Nonetheless. Oh, you mean the rape thing? No. And neither did this armed robber. No. Okay. But, I'm not one to defend rapists, but
aren't but, you?
No, I'm not.
Why is there a but?
No, because he's like, did they kill somebody, though? You mean who?
Well, I know I meant like in the bank robbery, did they kill somebody?
No, and honestly, they don't go much into the crime. And that's why some people, it's a major point of derision because the movie's about empathy. It's about like someone makes a mistake when they're desperate. And it's like 60 years. I don't, 60 years is kind of not,
So you might say the system is flawed.
I might say too that people are full of shit because they fucking have been celebrating bank robbers forever. So they're folk heroes for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
But unless you're black and then you need 60 years. So, you know what I mean? So that's a little much, but it's a good movie for most people's standards. I shouldn't say most, but quite a few would probably be slow, but it's the footage spans like 2 decades and it's really intimate. And by the end it creeps up on you and, it's definitely pretty weepy.
Speaking of slow,
you're slow.
Have you watched Riggio?
No.
Okay, move up.
I addressed that last week.
Yeah, okay, moving on.
And then I watched a film continuing the Denis Villeneuve renaissance. He did Blade Runner 2049, Sicario, Prisoners, upcoming Dune. He did a film called Incendies.
All movies I haven't seen.
You saw Enemy, right? That would be a cool movie to do on here so Matt could just fucking hate it.
You'd like that. We should do that.
You'd like that if I hated it.
Arrival is a fucking masterpiece.
I've been.
I know you have. I saw it. I saw that movie twice. I saw it once in the theater, once on video.
It's so fucking good.
And it had been, I think, did it come out in 2014?
That movie fucks.
Or 16.
16, I think.
Yeah, like 4 years ago. But, and that movie's, it's a great, it's about.
Is that Matt Damon movie?
What? No.
What was that movie?
That's. What are you talking about?
This is when the ships are entering the atmosphere and there's...
Is that the one?
There's...
I don't know. What the fuck are you talking about?
Isn't Matt Damon in some space movie that starts with an A?
He's in The Martian.
The Martian, which is also pretty fantastic.
He's in Interstellar at the end.
No, that's...
Anywho, Arrival.
Arrival, though... what it's about, Matt, is these ships start coming to the Earth and then, of course, mankind's response is like...
This is the one where they want to talk to him, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's about communication, linguistics.
Fantastic.
It is fantastic. And it's,
I was gonna say fascinating.
It's pretty fucking good for right now, too. But yeah, great film if you haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely fucking recommend that.
Some spotty CGI at the end, but otherwise it's good.
Is there?
The hair when she's
notice that.
It's a little the one thing in that movie, I'm like, why didn't she just not have
CGI hair?
Just let her have her normal fucking hair.
They did so well. I mean, all those little decisions though. You know, like how minimal it is,
mm-hmm.
like as far as the visual aspect, it's just, it's completely different. It tackles the topic completely differently than like any fucking alien film.
Yeah. And all the timey-wimey stuff at the end, you're like, oh, it makes so much sense.
And I gotta say, it's doing some Tenet shit before Tenet. So, yeah.
So there, stick that in your fucking pipe.
Well, it's a different kind of movie, but nonetheless. Oh, and that's a good example, too, of something new with the aliens. You know, besides the whole language thing, like how the sounds they make and all that. It's fucking really cool.
Yep.
Anyway, that's what we watched at Mystery Science Theater. We averaged maybe two or three a week of those. They're fucking great, dude.
I love them.
Cool.
Tight.
How you been?
I just want to say one more thing. Sophia says that you are Joel. You're Tom Servo.
I don't even know what the fuck you're talking about.
Oh, but people Mr. Science do. Theater. I could get.
And I am Crow.
Who's Joel?
Joel is the guy.
He's the guy who made the robots.
Man. He's the man.
And he looks stoned as fuck.
So in other words, I made you two clowns.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I could.
Well, I mean, I'll concede that because I got here late, but
it's true.
George is going to have a problem because you guys started the show together.
No, you know.
No, I don't care. I'm Tom. I could be Tom Servo.
You know who made this
show? You are Tom Servo.
That's you know who made this show is Aubrey Hodges.
That's true.
She put the show on the map without even having to. She only did it twice. That's it. She got in a room morgue for it.
We should get a t-shirt made.
Of Aubrey Hodges?
No, of Mr. Science Theater, but
I tried to do like a reface thing, but it won't do it on their puppet fucking faces.
How would we put you on Crow though?
That's already me.
it's just you. So Ronnie and I watched a couple things. We watched a show called it's on Hulu. It's a Hulu original called Monsterland. It's in an anthology series.
Heard about that?
It's not super great, but I will say it is. We watched two episodes. The first one called I don't even think they're called anything. They're just like.
Episode one.
Like episode one, and they say a city. So the first one was New Orleans. Second one is Eugene, Oregon. We've watched those two. First one's pretty good. It's about it's kind of like a Cajun Babadook, but also some skinwalker.
Because you love the Babadook.
Some skinwalker shit going on.
I fucking love the Babadook.
Go ahead.
And then I recommend Monsterland. It's a little hit and miss in terms of like the quality of the show, even during like the hour long episode. But I think if you like anthology sci-fi horror stuff, then it's good. We also started watching a show called Hellstrom.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
I am enjoying it.
So you're watching some shows.
Yeah. We're watching some shows right now. It's essentially like a Exorcist version of the X-Files so far, where there's this dude who is like a half demon hybrid fella who is performing exorcisms, and each episode there's wacky hijinks with possessed people and
nice,
and they've got a mom who's also a fucking like top level demon, and it's pretty fun. The sister is a fucking weirdo and I kind of like it. There's usual tropes when there's like the skull of a demon that's hanging around and people are like, is it moving? Is there an eyeball in there?
So it's like a comedy?
No, it's very serious. Oh, okay. It's so serious. Like it's unbelievably it's very deadpan in its delivery. There's no comedy. But yeah, it's good so far. I don't know that I'd recommend it just yet. Give me a couple more episodes and I'll let you know.
Have you guys seen the trailer for that movie, The Cleansing Hour?
Yeah, I didn't see the trailer, but I was reading, I saw it on Shudder.
Yeah, what you were just talking about kind of reminded, it looks like there's a show kind of like Dead Detectives or like Grave Encounters or something, but they do like exorcisms on the internet. And they've all been staged and fake, and then they get the real one, and you know, people are watching the exorcism on the internet.
It's not so kinda, but there's no like fourth wall breaking at all. It's all very
okay.
It's very heavy tonally. Like they're like dealing.
What's that called?
Hellstrom.
Okay,
Hellstrom is the name of the show. It's decent. I think it's good for like schlocky Friday night. You know,
where's
like
that at?
That's on Hulu as well.
Okay.
I think that's it. We watch Friday the 13th together. Yeah. Okay.
You know, I saw a thing before I came over here. It was like the 10 scariest movies according to science.
Where I saw that.
Did you?
The Looper list, video? That list wasn't too bad.
Or did we see the same list?
So, hold up a minute.
What was the number one movie? Do you remember?
He's going to look it.
I'm gonna look that shit up, homie.
That's right.
Because the one I saw, almost all of the movies were made after like 2011.
Well, and also the one that I saw was there was a good amount of Blumhouse movies, and I was like,
But see, I think that's the flaw in the thing, because what they did with this system was they tested people and they showed them a bunch of movies and they basically monitored their heart rate.
So this is according to dig.com, and it's the top 20. Where's number one?
Well, yeah. So they did the video I saw had top 10, but then they also ran down the top 20. And the top from 11 to 20 had a lot more movies like you would expect, like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Halloween, stuff like that. But
even the top, I will say the top 10. So it's Insidious.
Insidious was number one on the list. Yeah, I saw.
The Conjuring.
Okay. Yep.
Hereditary, which I'm.
What do they mean according to science?
So well, what they did was
monitoring the central nervous system.
So
yeah, they actually tap in your brain.
So they put heart monitors on a bunch of people, and they all had like
Is not the brain.
They all had an average baseline heart rate of like 65, and so based on like how elevated your heart rate got during certain scenes.
Sinister's number one.
Yeah, Sinister.
Yeah, that's only a visceral reaction, though.
Well, and that's the thing. And like George said, a lot of them are Blumhouse movies. And, you know,
because
like
it has to do with fucking.
What's the jump scares? That's what it is. Yeah. Well, and that's what gets your heart rate up.
It's just physical.
Well, what's interesting, they also did the top jump scares.
Yeah, I forgot what it said number one was.
So the number. Okay,
they didn't recognize the difference.
Here's top 10. Sinister was number one. Number two, Insidious. Number three, The Conjuring. Number four, Hereditary. Number five, Paranormal Activity. Number six, It Follows. Number seven, nice. The Conjuring 2. Number eight, The Babadook. Number nine, The Descent, which being on the list is kind of
impressive. It's the only one I feel that really belongs on the list.
And The Visit, which I thought was pretty, I really liked The Visit. I didn't
watch that, and I'm not getting behind Shyamalan, but
you know, I haven't seen it.
So I enjoyed that flick.
It wasn't bad.
I thought it was the.
Because he's working in minimal stuff.
Renaissance.
He does better when he doesn't get all ambitious.
Well, and I think at that point, the bar was ridiculously low.
That's true.
So like, as long as he didn't just royally fucks.
As long as he didn't have Mark Wahlberg fucking looking at leaves.
No.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if he did anything between the last Airbender and this movie, but.
Dude, he did fucking After Earth, I think.
That Will Smith, Jaden Smith movie.
Awful, yeah, dude. After Earth was real, real bad.
That was
bad to the point where I think even in the trailers, they even removed Shyamalan's name from
Will Smith wanted to kill himself.
Wouldn't go see it because of Shyamalan, and then they went and saw it just based off of the star power of Will Smith. And
well, it didn't. Like,
Will Smith get attached to something like that?
He gets attached to a lot of stuff, dude. A big enough paycheck, and Will Smith's going to be like, "Oh hell yeah!"
Well, and also,
Will Smith's a whore.
I think it's not just that. When you're surrounded by yes men, it's harder and harder to have perspective. So he figures. Oh, well, you know, this one will work because Shyamalan has produced big hits before. So he's like, look, whatever, you know, if he's doing what we tell him, it'll work. Because that was a production that was not, Shyamalan didn't write that screenplay like he usually does. He was a hired hand for that.
What's the best Shyamalan movie?
Sixth Sense. Without question. If people say Signs, they're fucking high. Unbreakable is like, again, like it's gotten a lot better profile in the years it's been released. It's okay. I mean, but the end is like, they call me Mr. Glass. It's fucking laughable. These are my opinions, by the way, because I'm talking. Well, I hate how you have to tell people that.
Our opinions are the only ones that matter.
That's why
they're listening to this show.
Well, I mean, it's the one that matters when it's coming out of my mouth because it's the one that's out of my fucking mouth. It's
like dicks.
Exactly. When the dick's coming in my mouth.
I would say it's a tie for me between The Sixth Sense and the other one that you mentioned.
Unbreakable?
No, not Unbreakable.
Signs?
Yeah.
I didn't like the water shit, dude.
See, that's the thing. His movies always have those, he got the twist right with Sixth Sense.
Oh, yeah.
And then he fucked it with everything else. Except for The Village, which is the best movie he ever did.
I hate The Village. Twilight Zone does that kind of shit much better in 30 minutes.
George just looked at me and I couldn't keep a straight face.
I was like, you're really going there, huh?
The Village has its fucking, its people, supporters. I mean, the cinematography is nice. The cast is nice. Yeah. I thought you were serious.
No.
It was very strange that you liked The Village.
No, I don't like The Village.
Matt loves The Village.
He thinks this is hot off the presses.
He thinks it should have been on the list of the scientifically greatest horror films.
Scariest. No. Scariest horror
films. Nobody did Lady in the Water, which was, that's a good fucking head scratcher. But then what we should do on this show is The Happening.
I mean.
Why? What's Happening?
The Happening. Have you seen it?
No.
It's fucking hilarious. Get real high and watch that.
Is that the Mark Wahlberg one?
Yeah.
That's the what?
And Zooey Deschanel.
No.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's worth a watch, dude.
It's fucking funny. I want to buy it.
What's crazy about that movie in particular is how, so it starts off and you think, you're like, holy shit, this is going to be doing something. Because there's people like jumping off of bridges and you,
yeah,
it
starts, and the construction workers, they're faced with the guys just start falling.
It starts off crazy because like they're, you know, there's construction workers and people just start falling off a bridge and you're like, yo, there's something happening here. And then 10 minutes later, you're like, oh, it's a Shyamalan movie. Got it. Nice. Understood. Yeah, it's bad.
That's tight.
Yeah. Any news we should get to, fellas?
No.
Any trailers we should talk about?
Oh, there was a trailer for The Witches. Did you guys see the trailer for The Witches?
I did not.
Ooh, it looks bad. So, like, Anne What's-Her-Face.
Them be witches.
She looks like she could be good.
She good.
In what was it? Angelica Houston, was that her name in the original? She looks like she could be good in her role.
I could see that. She's a pretty fucking good actress, honestly.
Everything else looks bad. All of it. The CG is terrible. Like, the acting looks bad.
It's a trailer.
Yeah, but, like, they show the CG of just the mice, and, like, they look so bad. They did it in the early 90s, and I think it was Jim Henson then, but, like...
Yeah, you it ain't was very got, tactile.
You ain't got Jim Henson right now.
No.
You ain't got that. And,
Well, and also, besides if it looks fake, if the design is off, the design is off. I'm not saying it has to look the same, but does it look...
cohesive?
Yeah, does it look unique? Yeah. Does it look like, does it have a vision?
I mean, I don't think it's trying to reinvent the wheel here. I think it's kind of trying to do almost an exact replica of the Roald Dahl original.
It's trying to get people to pay another $15 or $20 just to watch it on Disney.
That's it. And I don't think it's going to go down in history as a very memorable movie.
Damn. I guess we'll find out.
Just based off of the trailer.
Along with The Craft.
Yeah. And I do want to take a minute to say our hearts go out to Chris Franco.
I was going
to
say the exact same thing. We had a lull.
And his family. Yep. Chris has had a really rough go of things.
Couple of rough weeks, man.
Yeah. Chris unfortunately lost his mom and his stepdad within the last like couple weeks. So
I had no clue.
Yeah. We just want to take a minute and, you know, send this out to Chris and his family and, you know, please.
Yeah. I always, you know, because I have such a difficult time with like grieving and mourning and whatnot. In fact, I don't do much of it just because like I'm, you know, fucked up from the very core.
Yeah.
And
you do it. You just do it differently.
It always takes me a little bit to understand that people grieve differently than I do. So I have to I have to be very conscious of like, okay, just because I don't care that people don't reach out to me doesn't mean that Chris doesn't want. And I was I had to like consciously like be like, okay, let's think of Chris for 1 second. Send a quick message. I can't be like, oh bro, like talk to me if you want. Cause he doesn't want to talk to anybody.
No,
he just wants to deal with his own shit. And I'm thinking about him. And you know, if you need anything, let me know.
Yep.
So, sincere condolences, man.
Yeah. Just want to take a minute to say that, but
yeah,
we love you, buddy.
On the break, I will ask what the fuck happened.
Well, we don't know any details.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's, I'll let you know what we know, but yeah. I mean, he posted it on social network, so it's on social media. So it's not anything like too unsurprising in terms of what's going on. But yeah, shout out to Chris. We love you, buddy. anything else before we take a break?
That's it. She-Ra's really good. Just want to say that. She-Ra Princess of Power on Netflix, we watched the entire series. It's really good.
All right.
Just throwing that out there.
Okay, well, we'll be right back and talk about a couple movies. We'll see you in a couple seconds, idiots.
See you in a minute.
Bye. Don't leave us even though you have a commercial in front of this fucking godforsaken show. Don't leave us. Oh, fuck. I guess we're back. Holy shit. Well, if you had to sit through an ad at the beginning of the show, you know how you could not sit through an ad at the beginning of the show.
by going to patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast. And you want to know about patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast? It's full of some of my favorite people in the world, including people like Hans Gretchen, who's been with us for like 3 years now. Hans goes through and listens to all of our episodes
over and over again, which is fucking crazy.
He's like the Who Goes There encyclopedia. It's fucking wonderful. And he's just one of the great people that you can talk to, including all of us on the Patreon exclusive Discord. And you also get bonus content, exclusive episodes like our upcoming Ghost Ship episode. Maybe that'll be an actual episode. It's a real fun time. You get some great shit, and it helps us continue doing the show. And we have two new Patreons.
We got two new, but also the homie Joseph Charlesworth has upped his pledge. My God in heaven, why he be doing this?
Yeah, he went really above and beyond. Like, just because it says that like the tier that you can get is $20, you can give us way more than that.
And also, the new thing that happened that I just found out about is you're able to pay for a whole year of Patreon ahead of time.
Yeah, so if you want to really show your support for the show and you want to save a little bit of money yourself, you can pay for an entire year in advance. And
or 10 years.
Yeah. And you save, I think, 11%
of. I'm not going to blast out his actual name because it's not, you know.
Blast it out.
But the Lurgoyf.
Yeah. It's something like that.
It's our new Patreon.
I think that's definitely what he was going for.
The Lurgoyf.
And then also, brother of Cthulhu Christ.
Yep.
Motherfucking Paul Denton is now part of the fucking team.
You know what I love about that is we shit all over his favorite movie and then he joined up with the Patreon. Didn't I say on the last episode that's how we would reel them in, is by doing the Patreon early, so when they're like, oh, I can get a hold of these dorks by giving them some money, let's do it. It worked.
Yeah, but Paul's a cool dude. I've interacted with him a little bit on Instagram. He does some MMA, some kickboxing, and also indulges Jacob in a lot of his nonsense. So, round of applause for him.
Doesn't he make some music as well?
I don't know.
Does he make sick beats?
Doesn't he make fat beats?
Oh, fucking Ty.
I'll tell you what, he hasn't made a theme for this show.
We don't need a theme for this show.
We might.
I mean, we might.
Oh. You never know.
We could use transition music. We could use
transistor.
Drops. You see these fucking colored buttons right here, Rhett? Those are drops. You know what we got programmed into those?
None.
Nothing.
Push one.
What?
There's a get the fucking the score from Cannibal Holocaust.
You just get your take five too.
Boot up, boot up, boot up, boot up,
boot up,
boot up, boot up, boot up, boot up, boot up, boot up, boot up, boot up. Yeah, I mean, look, you don't know.
Possibilities are endless.
You don't know what you unleash when you say take five.
Fuck yeah.
I mean, you don't know. You don't know.
Some enigma on there.
And actually, that's another thing. If you contact Turk on Discord, he'll send you some shit.
He makes ringtones of all of our dumb shit. Patreon.com/WhoGoesThere Podcast.
So anyways, the Who Goes There Podcast watched a couple movies. Well, one movie twice. Two movies once, one movie twice. Whichever way you want to look at it. Friday the 13th, the original from 1980, and also the remake from 2009?
Yes.
Is it 2009 or was Nightmare on Elm Street 2009?
I think Elm Street was 2010. Pretty sure.
2009. I was correct. Thank you very much for saying that. 1980 film directed by Sean S. Cunningham, written by Victor Miller, starring Betsy Palmer, Adrian King, Janine Taylor, Robbie Morgan, Kevin Bacon, Harry Crosby. Introducing Kevin Bacon?
I think so.
Laurie Bartram, Mark Nelson, Peter Brower, Rex Everhart as the truck driver. That's
fucking retarded truck driver.
That's enough out of me for that one. And then let's talk about the 2009 version.
What do you mean it's enough for you about that one?
Well, I mean in terms of
introducing
the film, right. You fucking autistic bastard.
Well, yeah, you wish.
Directed by Marcus Nispel. written by Victor Miller and Damian Shannon, starring Jared Padalecki, Danielle Panabaker, Amanda Righetti, Travis Van Winkle.
Van Winkle?
Vanilla Ice's brother.
Is that true?
I don't know. Okay. It's Travis. I saw Travis Van Winkle. Like, yeah. Aaron Yu as Chewy. Derek Mears as Amelia. Jonathan Sadowski, Juliana Gwil, Ben Fieldman.
Who's the token Asian guy and the token black guy?
Aaron Yu and Arlen Escarpada.
There we go.
Escarpada.
So where to start?
Where
have you both seen both of these movies before?
I had seen, obviously I'd seen the original, and I saw the original not too long ago because I watched the whole series about a couple years ago.
You did a thing, yeah.
I did a fucking thing. But this one, I saw the beginning, and then when I was watching it, I realized that I watched it before, saw the beginning, was drinking, got pissed, and then just started yelling at the fucking TV screen.
Talking about the remake?
Oh, yeah, with the girl I was with at the time.
Okay.
So, and...
Oh, that's right.
I'm actually not upset about doing that because... Well, I'll get there. Well, depending what order we want to do this. But, yeah, this is my first time seeing the remake all the way through.
And you?
I had seen the remake. I did not remember a thing about it. I went into it, and I was telling Ronnie because we watched it together. And I told her, I don't remember if this is good. I don't remember if this is bad. I don't remember any of the plot points. I was going in blind.
Oh, that's a hell of a plot.
Basically.
Very good character motivations in this.
And movie. I had seen the original fucking years ago, and it's been a bit since the revisit.
How you been?
And Ronnie loved it.
What, the original?
No, the remake.
Oh, you don't want to hear. Well, I mean, maybe you do. I mean, she pretty much lines up with me on this one. I mean, that
you might. She might sound like me on this one.
She might sound like Amelia.
So, Amelia. So was it 2009, 2008 where we turned the page on the remakes being worse than the original or?
Okay, Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake was pretty successful.
It was 2003.
2003,
right?
Same director as the Friday the 13th remake, by the way, Marcus Nispel. And that was Michael Bay who... You know, he's like
fucked it.
Let's recycle this because the people who were kids then will want to watch it, and the new kids now will want to watch it, and that's true. And they did succeed, particularly their first weekends. Like this shit, fucking. I was looking it up. Friday the 13th opened to like $39 million.
That's crazy. That makes sense.
But then the next weekend, it had a historic drop. It dropped like 80%.
That also makes sense
because word of mouth was so abysmal for this. Fantastic movie. Right. So, but where do we start? Do we start with the first one?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Okay. You know, so it, like I said, it has been a bit since I've seen the original. I like it. I like it quite a bit.
You don't have to say that.
Yeah. I feel like he's treading lightly.
But dude,
do you like the Miss Voorhees just needs a MAGA hat?
I straight up, like, I was like, did I start watching Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory?
Just because when they're fucking singing Kumbaya shit.
Just because of the tone and the way it's like filmed, I go, dude, this is straight up fucking, where's Grandpa Joe, dude?
Yeah. He's in Golden bed, that lazy fucker. Fucking piece of shit.
Piece of shit.
Why didn't you get up before that,
you cocksucker?
Yeah, because he's lazy. He didn't want to do a goddamn thing.
Same thing. You remember a while back I watched Pretty in Pink? I told you guys.
Sure.
Harry Dean Stanton's in it. It's Molly Ringwald's dad.
Right.
He's a fucking piece of shit also, just so you know.
I mean, most men are pieces of shit. So you're true. Not there's like three pieces of shit
sitting at this table.
But we meant like, you know, in the capitalist sense. He won't even get a job. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah,
he
neither will Grandpa Joe.
That's what I mean. They just want to live up.
Neither will my dad. Dude. So like... What's your point? Neither will my brother.
Capitalism is speaking through me now.
I think that overall, I think
it's a fine
film. There's just a lot. I appreciate.
Dude, you're really trying.
The twist.
Who paid you?
It's not as... Okay. Back up.
Not these fucking ads, I'll tell you that.
It's not as bad as fucking Dawn of the Dead. And it is infinitely worse than Night of the Living Dead. Night of the Living Dead. What's the last
Nightmare
one
on Elm Street?
Nightmare on Elm Street. I think Nightmare on Elm Street.
Not even fucking close.
Shits all over this movie in terms of like.
It's 6 years later, though, and all that good stuff.
It's 4 years.
9,000 years later.
It's kind of a grab bag of mismatched scenes, and there's just things that happen. And
it's like a porn where you're waiting for the fuck and it never happens.
And I'm like, how does Pamela Voorhees string people up in a tree?
She's strong as fuck.
Yeah, dude.
Did you
see those forearms?
She's a Trump supporter. What do you expect?
She's got that jaw, dude. She's been, you know, she's all methed out.
She talks through her teeth the whole time.
Yeah, she's methed out.
She got all coked out with the cast. That's why.
Yeah, dude. So, I mean, I guess I'll tell you this. I think Friday the 13th is fun, just not very good.
It's okay.
What about you?
The movie, look, what it does have, it has this.
What does it have?
These things have been so mythologized. This is what happens, right? And the internet contributed to this. This is what happens. People grow up with these movies and then they start like carrying around the idea of Jason in their head, and it becomes bigger and better than anything you actually saw in these. And obviously Jason's not even in this movie, but anything that's in these movies.
I mean, kind of he is.
Yeah. Well, he's the Elephant Man is in this. Right. But no bad taste.
No.
Okay.
No, bad joke.
Okay.
Bad joke. Yeah. Not bad taste.
But,
We'll just call it Amelia.
I think if this didn't carry the name Friday the 13th, right, and you didn't have any context for it, that you wouldn't like it. And by you, I mean any of you. None of you would like this fucking movie or find anything special about it if it wasn't called Friday the 13th. Now, here's the thing. It's somewhat, for a low-budget horror movie of its time, it's got some technical accomplishment here and there. It's vibrant. Like, it uses its color palette well. And I know I'm not kidding. Like, the stuff with the fucking trees out by the lake and, like, the fucking, the jump scare at the end is good. It's always been good. But, yeah, this fucking takes a long time to go nowhere. The best kill is Kevin Bacon, by far, because the thing comes through the throat.
Arrow through the neck, yeah.
I know that was, like, pretty... That was pretty fucking, heavy for a mainstream horror film at that time.
I'm gonna say too, like, I know it's a movie that's, you know, on in its years, but that even that sex scene was kind of like,
well, that's what it was.
I'm pretty in.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Seeing it, if you can't watch it without considering the time it came out, that's what I mean. It's not fair to do that.
You mean before any of us were born?
Yeah. But then again, there's a lot of movies that came out before 1980 that are much better than this fucking movie, horror movies or otherwise.
Yeah, but what's the budget on this?
19, I think.
There's a lot of low budget.
Wrong movie.
There's a lot of low budget fucking movies that came out before. My point being, look, I don't hate this movie, but yeah, I do believe, dude, the fucking score that rips off Psycho is just like so fucking crazy. Like when it shows the fucking.
Why? Just because it's got violins?
No, because it goes.
It's got violins.
Like it literally tries to do fucking Bernard Herrmann.
The budget was $550,000. Holy Christ. And it grossed $39 million.
Yes.
Yeah, dude.
This is why. This is why there was 15,000 of these movies, right? Yeah, dude. I don't want to say. God, how do I say this? How do I say this, Matt?
I don't know, Rhett.
It's got a certain charm to it because of the time it came out. But, nah, dude. I don't think, again, if you took away Friday the 13th, if you took away everything that all the mythology you're attaching to this, and the whole, like, well, it's the first movie, so they're introducing this and this and this. If you had no context and none of that fucking indoctrination your whole life with Friday the 13th and Jason being a badass, and you just watched this, you'd be bored out of your fucking mind. Like, I think most people would be.
Matt, what do you think?
I agree with almost everything you said.
Except,
however... I don't care.
Because it's Friday
the 13th. I don't care at all. No, see, and that's not the thing. It's because I just really enjoy this style of film. And even Friday the 13th the original isn't what Friday the 13th became later, but it is still a bunch of just young promiscuous teenagers getting hacked to bits for no fucking reason. It doesn't matter how good the acting is. It doesn't matter how good the plot is. It's just kind of high body count.
There is no plot.
Lots of nudity. I mean, there are events,
but there's this person did this to this person to make this happen.
Yes, literally the plot is camp counselors who were supposed to be watching a child were too busy like engaging in vices,
that's a premise.
Sex and drugs.
There's a premise.
It's a plot point.
That's the plot point.
Jason drowned. That's a plot point. Mrs. Voorhees.
No, I'm talking about the characters. Like, well, you know, a plot usually goes like you have rising action and then you have, oh, now there's a turn at the end of act one.
The rising
and now action, I'm wondering what these characters are going to do. And none of that's going on.
Yeah. The rising action is that they're building up this camp and then people start disappearing. And then you're like, what are the counselors going to do now that their friends are disappearing? What are they going to do now that they're finding their friends dead? What are they going to do now that they're being stalked? Everything you said about this movie is true. I just really love slasher movies and I love campy, cheesy ass ones. I love this. I love The Burning. I love the fucking Funhouse. I mean, the Funhouse isn't
I almost don't want to call this movie cheesy though.
Like, I mean, it is.
It's for its time.
I don't think it's that cheesy for its
time. I think it's trying to be serious.
It's trying to be pretty straight up, I thought. That's the thing. I think what turned off critics a lot at the time was actually kind of how empty it is. And I don't mean that as a knock, but it's not like, you know.
It doesn't have anything meaty that you can sink your teeth into, but did Halloween?
Oh, no.
Halloween is just like, oh, I'm a babysitter and it's Halloween and there's like an escaped mental patient. It's like, okay, so.
Well, and you know, we've been having this discussion the last few weeks about, you know, the merit of these films in their time, right? That's been a thing that we've sort of bandied about is are they good or are they good for their time?
Right.
I think this movie,
brought the sex in. Let's get straight.
Well, it did. It made like sex and violence not so much acceptable in a mainstream culture, but more represented in a mainstream culture.
If I get into that aspect, yeah. I mean, because it's that Mortito impulse, libido impulse, and that's what the movie's about. It's sex and death. And that's fucking the Friday the 13th direct franchise.
Correlation.
Yeah. And so I can I appreciate that? Yeah, it's just, dude, I just think like, I can't imagine you or any other person who grew up loving these movies and watching them over and over again, just loving those scenes of dialogue that go nowhere.
Well, see, no, I'll admit that the original Friday the 13th is probably, with the exception of part 7, the one that I watched the least.
Is part 7 the telekinesis one?
Yeah. I don't like that one.
It's not good.
I don't like that one at all.
That's the new blood, right?
Yes. Yeah. See, and for me, Friday the 13th, it kind of lives on being campy, you know, just like high body counts, lots of tits, and just innovative ways to kill people. You didn't really get that so much in the original. You know, you got a little sprinkling of it here and there, but they hadn't really come into their own in the thing yet. And until this point, like every slasher movie had kind of just been, you know, like just innocent people in a town. And this is the first time that it's like people outside in a different setting. And it's just more, it feels more violent, you know?
So the thing I have to parse out is that if you remove the history of Jason away from this movie, so just delete
it and drown in the lake.
Delete. No. I just mean the subsequent films. Okay. So 2 through whatever.
Hey, that's what I'm saying. Take it on its own terms.
So if you take this film on its own terms,
impossible for people to do now.
I think it's a better movie. I think. I kind of agree.
Interesting.
Because I think that the mythos of Jason
makes this look sillier.
Right. Because at the end you're like, oh, well, it's his mom. I got it. And then that fucking that rubber baby that comes out of the lake is what like turns into Jason.
He saw his mom.
So
I kind of think the opposite. Oh, I think that the movie's weaker if you, unless you consider it as the startup of the series, because it has no way to, there's nothing meaty there.
See, but is
there's nothing to justify it other than it's Friday the 13th and that's Jason's mom.
Well, but
now I have Jason in my head. But if I was just, that's what I'm saying. If I just watched it without sequels and there were nothing after it happened, this would be like an extremely forgettable fucking movie.
Well, and it's, the thing is people forget about it now because it doesn't live up to just the insanity of the other movies.
That's
like,
right.
Just Jason running around. See, so I feel like without, like George said, without the other movies following it, it's a much stronger movie because everybody else just wants to see Jason.
Right.
And like, if you just have, okay, there's a
it's the good thing about the series.
Well, no, but it's the good thing about the series because like we got so much Jason and we fell in love with the things that Jason did. Like if Mrs. Voorhees continued on the franchise and she was the one putting people in fucking sleeping bags and smacking them against trees or doing like the belt across the eyes fucking thing, you know, or the machete through the sleeping or through the tent. If Mrs. Voorhees was doing those things, we would have a whole lot different opinion about the movie, but we all grew up with Jason. So if you take Jason out of it and it's just
the fucking hockey mask and that he's a victim.
It's well, because he didn't even have a hockey mask until the third one.
So I know.
The second one doesn't take anything away from the franchise. It's just a fucking bag over his head. Yeah. One day he does that later too.
And I like the second one better than the third one now, which is weird, but I like the fourth one better than all of them.
I mean, in a pre-twist world, right? Because this is not that this is a pre-twist, right?
Like the corn song twist?
Yeah, twist. Twist.
I don't know that song.
It's not good.
In a pre-trope.
Who called Deftones sexy or horny corn?
I don't know.
That's a perfect. That's a perfect.
It was meant to be a slam. I'm like, okay, you know what? That's all right.
Yeah, yeah. Horny corn. Like, you know, that's yeah.
Horny corn. Yeah, it's totally. That totally is Deftones, man. Yeah, I just think that if you take the film by itself, I think it's stronger because it doesn't have the mythos of Jason to stand up to. And in a world pre
COVID-19.
Yeah. I mean, fuck, man, for real. I think it stands up pretty well. I think the things that happen. Yeah, dude, the shit is cheesy as fuck. Like these kumbaya moments and then, you know, this creepy ass owner of this camp.
And they're all so white. It's just achingly white.
Like, yeah. Well, see, but that's another good thing is watching white people die.
I get it.
And it's the introduction of the Harbinger, which I'm kind of into.
Yeah, dude. Creepy Ralph. He's one of the fucking best. And that was one of my biggest bugaboos about like the remake is that they didn't have a fucking Harbinger in it.
Yeah.
Well, and
I don't know that it is the Harbinger thing. Harbinger.
Was, not a death's curse.
There was a Harbinger in fucking Hills Have Eyes.
Yeah.
Well,
that was 70s.
There's always a harbinger. What are we talking? That word exists like
before. No. I know what you're getting at.
No.
Like, in terms of like the word harbinger.
But it really like put him on a pedestal, you know? It's like, this is fucking crazy, Ralph. What's the name of the harbinger from Hills Have Eyes? I don't know.
Gas station fella. Yeah.
Gas station fuck job.
There you go. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's what his IMDb credit reads.
Totally. And then we've got the 2009 reboot, and I gotta tell you, I gotta fucking tell you,
he loves it.
I gotta tell you, there has nary been a worse film that I have seen in my fucking life, and I'm almost astounded by how fucking bad this movie is,
and it made me like the original less. It made me like just the whole series
just by association.
Yeah.
By association.
It shit all over the entire like taste of the series to me. I don't mean that as a slam either because I don't, you know, like I really like part four. I really like part four. I like part six.
I like part five. I like part three.
Matt loves part five.
Is the best one
because the dude dies in the shitter. But
no, just like that's his character is great.
But
I don't even care that he dies in the shitter.
It's a character.
Yeah.
No, dude, every character.
When the series hits like Supernatural Jason Snake, I go. I'm
that's,
like,
that's after fucking five.
That's Jason Goes to Hell.
Yeah. No, I know that, but it's
that snake.
Yeah.
That
snake.
That snake.
No, sorry. Wait, I got us off the thread there. This new one though, do go on. Go on.
Oh, I'm done. It's a piece of shit. And
okay, I remembered the intro of this being particularly strong, and I still will say Marcus Nispel. He knows how to have
sneeze.
He has momentum, like a dynamic momentum and movement in his shots. You know, like Jason's hacking people, and it's like, wow, he's really coming at you and shit. And he puts the chick in the sleeping bag, and she's roasting, and there's like some good stuff there.
Ronnie goes, she wouldn't have fucking died already.
No.
Oh no.
That bag would have gone never, up in flames. She would have fallen out, maybe had a couple like
they've clearly never seen Mandy, you know. You know, it was
clearly
a I mean, this came out well before Mandy.
That's the
joke.
Oh. And they lived at Crystal Lake in Mandy, dude.
Is it Crystal Geyser or is it like Crystal?
Oh my god, Aquafina. Fucking dialogue.
Aquafina. The
dialogue. He's like, yeah, baby, you got another one of those for daddy? Like the dialogue and the, I know, and it's like, oh, they're supposed to be idiot people. Dude, like, was, okay.
So there was that scene earlier where, you know, he's talking about eating the guy's leg and he's like, oh, no, I could just teach you how to fish. He's like, I don't eat fish. And she's like, that's not what you told me. And I'm like, what exactly is that line implying? Like, did she not want him to go down there because it was, you know, not so fresh? And he's like, no, baby, I love eating fish.
I'll eat it, dude. I don't give a fuck.
I'll eat
your raw fucking sushi fish.
Well, yeah, maybe she's like, no, my pussy smells like fish. And he's like, that's cool. Like, I love eating fish. Like, I'm wondering what this line was trying to convey.
It's fucking dumb. And
I wondered that a lot in this movie.
Okay, so I'm going to fast forward here.
Yeah,
okay?
Please do.
So. Jason is like a fucking electrician in this movie, right?
Like, he was a janitor in Freddy vs. Jason, so it makes sense.
Jason stacks canoes. He like, I don't want to see Jason putting on lights and stacking canoes and living in a fucking house and keeping hostages. Like
that underground tunnel system.
Can imagine him bringing her like a sandwich. Like, what the fuck, dude?
She's gone for a month. Six weeks.
I remember Matt having a problem when he said it was jarring when we saw the Halloween remake. The new Halloween reboot or proper sequel, whatever you want to call it, the one from a couple years ago. And it implied that Michael Myers was driving. You know?
No, because he drove in the original.
All right. But someone had a problem with it, and then someone pointed out. Anyway, so I didn't have a problem with it. But if you have a problem with that, you should have a problem with Jason.
Matt just didn't like the fact that he was a trickster.
So on that note,
he's always been a trickster.
So okay, yeah, he did have a flair.
We talked about it.
And that's another difference between subtlety is a big difference in Halloween.
So Michael did have a flair for the dramatic. You know, he did the Judith Myers headstone thing.
Look at his fucking mask.
Okay, so but Jason never had that shit. And so when I saw at the beginning, the guy's ear gets cut off and it's like delicately placed like a circus ring over like a fucking stalk of weed. I'm like, that's not just a lucky shot. Like they're implying that Jason placed that there because it's just his ear cut off and then hung on a stalk of weed.
Fundamental misunderstanding of fucking Jason Voorhees.
Or filmmaking.
Or, well, of course that, even if like that's going to happen, at least understand Jason. No. Also, he is a fucking dead-eye shot, like with the bow and arrow.
Yeah.
He fucking and got that guy while he's fucking at a long range in a fucking boat, which was a hilarious fucking scene, by the way, though, because the guy's woo! And like, yeah. I'm like, fuck this guy.
Who is that fucking clown? I recognize him from something.
Who woos that much?
This movie is like if Ed Hardy threw up on 2009.
It's an Ed Hardy fever dream for sure.
That's what it is. It's like all of these like attractive people of the time in like the most douchey fucking clothes that they could find, just being the biggest assholes.
Yeah, I don't like there are things that happen and I am like mind boggled.
Oh, like when they go to the house, right? And that dude shows up looking for his sister. And then so the other guy, like his girlfriend's like, you want some company? So she just takes off with this fucking guy.
She bounced around so quick.
Yeah. And so then, like, she's going and walking with him, like, forever. And then, like...
actually forever.
Yeah. And then, like, she doesn't take off when things get really fucking bad.
Yeah, sticks with him.
Like, just sticks with him because she wants the dick that bad.
Oh, yeah.
Like, really bad.
Everybody in this movie wanted the dick.
And also,
I totally thought those two dudes were going to kiss when he's like, maybe you should leave. And he's like, or else what? And he's like, you don't want to see what happens. And then I thought they were just going to fucking kiss.
Well, it understood that Friday the 13th, it did understand Friday the 13th should have horny people wanting to fuck each other with gore. It understood that, but it made the first part so mind-numbingly stupid that it doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
What do you mean the first part?
The
first,
fucking like, people the wanting to fuck each other.
Yeah. No, see, okay, now this is where
Wait, the chick when she shows her tits at the beginning. Why does she fucking got
she
these?
She has the weirdest tits.
Fake ass looking fucking tits. Dude, in a fucking a fake tent. Ass, I don't want to see ass fake ass too. Boobs in a fucking Friday the 13th movie.
I'll take any tits. Like,
no,
I will too.
Yeah, you can, like you can keep Bay, your mashed like,
titties.
You're 20. Like, it's time to get a boob job. You've hit 20 years old. Yeah. Like, dude, what the fuck?
She probably had those anyway.
The one later who was having the fucking sex with the douchebag guy.
She had.
And he
major
even,
boobage.
He has the best line in the movie.
Stupendous tits.
He calls, yeah, stupendous. And he calls. He calls her dude. He says, yeah. "Dude, dude, your tits are so juicy." Yeah. Like, imagine calling the chick dude
I call my wife dude all the time. So
While you're having sex,
yeah,
dude. Oh, you're like, oh, dude.
No, it's more like, dude, I'll totally smash you.
Oh man,
yeah.
And then
man.
When I come, we high five and say, that's fucking teamwork.
Fist bump at the end. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man, that opening, not the opening scene, but like the opening 20 minutes is
23 minutes.
It's fucking like it's mind bending, dude, because you have this like nerd, right? Yep. Who's like, oh, I don't know, dude, we're fucking lost, homie. And then he's like,
very Dustin Diamond.
I'm going to fucking smoke all of the weed. Ha! And I'm like, what the fuck? Who is this character?
Have we met?
But you're not that nerdy, dog.
Oh, tight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, see, here's the thing, though, is the first 23 minutes, I kind of love the first 23 minutes. Because I feel like that's the only time of the movie where they really understood what Friday the 13th is. And that's, like I said, tits, blood, gore. That's it.
But there's also I agree with you, but there's also so much extra shit in those scenes, man. I'm like, right. I don't give a fuck about any of their adventures. Why are they going to find weed? To sell it? Cool. Move the fuck on, please. Well, see,
they're just a plot device. And that's the thing, though, is it's a 23-minute plot device, and you are starting to get acclimated with these characters. Like, okay, these are the characters I'm going on this ride with, and you already start hating them. And then at the 23 minute mark, you're introduced to an even more obnoxious, disgusting group of people.
Yeah,
and you're supposed to care about them, but like, I just don't at all.
And then, no, dude, this is a film too that start its credits begin with the mom getting killed.
Yeah.
So it's starting with a whole nother movie.
Yeah.
That we haven't seen. Meaning like, oh, well, you've obviously seen the original. It's like, well, yeah, no, but
they info dump a lot on you in that scene.
That's what I mean. And it's in the credits.
Yeah.
And it's really bad. She says, kill for mommy. Like, dude, this is fucking lame. Like, yeah, right off the bat. And then also like the opening intro, when Jason's coming at the screen and about to hack her fucking head off, and then it cuts to the title card. And then, you know, I'm watching later and she's alive. So what was he doing right there? Like, he was just like, oh, I'm just kidding. Yes. I'm not going to hit you. Yes. Psych.
No. So I.
Does Jason psych?
I don't remember.
Dude, he psychs.
I don't remember the last time I watched this, but I just figured this out this time.
Uh-oh.
That girl was walking around with that guy, and they were exploring Jason's cabin, and they find the locket, and he says, you should keep that. So she pockets it. So I'm guessing that locket is essentially like his mother's sweater, but they just couldn't do the sweater again because then like nobody's going to wear that creepy.
Well, I got that, but I meant
but that's the thing is Jason's like swinging down on her, and he probably sees the locket, and like, since a dumb retard, thinks like that's his mom.
He's a dumb retard that fucking puts electricity all over the fucking property.
Yeah, but he can't tell his mom's face. He can only recognize the necklace.
Right.
He can put
lighting through the tunnels, but also digs the tunnel like, I don't know, like 3.5 feet too short for him to walk around comfortably.
Yep. Trap doors though.
It's more cinematic that way, dude.
He digs to a bus.
Oh yes. Also, this is an interesting one because it's got this like Jurassic World approach to Crystal Lake, right?
Crystal meth.
So Crystal Lake has become this thing of endless sets of garbage. Like there's abandoned school buses, and there's fucking underground things to put bitches in, and there's fucking tripwires, and there's bear traps, and there's the fucking that bear housing. Trap.
I kind of like the bear trap.
I'm kind of in.
So did I, because it was so fucking.
But I think what Rhett's saying is like the idea that Jason set up this trap.
Well, it's way too elaborate.
The idea that Jason all of a sudden is a trickster, is hilarious.
Also, too, that he's strategic. Like, no, you're not, dude. Yeah. You live in the fucking lake and you come out to kill these kids that are fucking trying to fuck and do drugs. That's all you do. You're like,
because it reminds him of the camp counselor.
You're an avenging fucking like demon spirit who lives in the lake. And he doesn't live in the fucking lake. And they show his bed as a kid that says Jason. Like, no. I don't want any of that.
Yeah, because the idea would be that like
they keep explaining somebody shit like you don't need explanation for.
That bed for him at camp?
Well, my guess would be that since his mom carved it for himself? Well, since his mom is a cook at the camp, he probably lives at the camp year round, so he's probably just got like a special bed. That's probably it. It's probably like just a thing like, "Oh yeah, you know, like lots of kids have their name above their bed." I mean, why not?
Why not? I'm going to put my name above my bed.
You should. I mean, at least that way Ronnie won't forget whose name to call out.
Got him.
I think one of the biggest downfalls of the remake, reboot, whatever.
Is the everything.
Is that.
It's arguably worse than the Nightmare on Elm Street remake.
I feel like it focuses too much on.
It's not as hard to people. Do either.
Like every other Friday the 13th movie. At least to me, doesn't feel so much like we're focusing on the people. They're just people that happen to be at Crystal Lake. You know, yeah, they've all got lives. They've all got stories. But most of them are inconsequential because they're just wrong place, wrong time.
Disposable.
Yeah, but this movie feels like they really want us to care about like the characters. They want us to care about them as people, which is why it's like they're not at the camp, but like at this fucking house, you know, which makes it different from every other... I guess no, they do that in 4 too. They were at a house, right?
Well, it's kind of like they slammed 1 through 4 together because they have part 1 in the opening credits. Yeah. They have part 2 in the intro because he's got the fucking bag over his head.
Which like that bag too, it looked an awful lot like the town that dreaded sundown.
Right. Oh, okay. What's that? I'm all right.
It was a slasher. Yeah, oh, yeah, I can't pull that one off. Slasher movie from the 70s.
Looked a lot like Red Dead Redemption.
Also remade in the 2000s.
Oh, and how he gets the mask in this. That's what I mean, too. This is, again, if you remove the mythology, if you're just taking it on its own terms, it's like, oh, hockey mask. Yeah. Like, put that on.
Well, and
it's fucking dude.
The way he got the mask in 3 wasn't...
It wasn't. What do you know?
Much more spectacular.
No, it really wasn't. That's kind of what I'm saying. Like, this shit is not that great. Like, Jason's great once he puts on a mask and starts hacking people, but nothing around it is good.
Well, it's because the mask became iconic. Like, nobody gave a shit about the fucking
hockey mask looks tough.
Nobody cared about Jason.
Why did you like Casey Jones so much on Ninja Turtles? Because he's got a fucking...
That's true.
Yeah.
Is he Casey Jones was after Jason, though.
Exactly.
So nobody cared about Bane until he put the mask
on. The mask.
Yeah.
No one cared who I was till I put on the mask.
What would happen if you took that off? It would hurt.
It would be extremely painful.
For you.
For you.
It's been a while since I've seen that.
Bane versus Jason.
I guess Jason wins because he's kind of immortal. Jason.
Yeah, but then consider that dumb, fucking, retarded... people kill him every movie.
See, and that's the thing too.
Every movie.
It's like this one, what? They put a chain around his neck. They threw him into a wood chipper, but then she
that was bad.
Gave the cheesy ass Michael Bay action line, the say hi to mommy, and stabbed him. And then it just like the wood chipper kissed his
scalp. Yeah, just kind of like nibbled his skull. No,
but he's good.
And then they're like, you know what? This is ugly. We should clean this up. And then they dragged him to the lake.
Which would be so much labor. And presumably, they dragged the other bodies.
And that girl weighs like 95 pounds. Yeah. So she wasn't going to be much help carrying them. You notice she looks an awful lot like the girl from Cabin in the Woods?
Nope.
And like all women in horror movies kind of look the same around that time period.
I think that's... probably a trope.
Dude, it's endemic to the system, dude.
I mean, it probably is.
Yes.
They were like on trend.
They're they're young Karens being protected by the system because they're the breeders.
Women with mousy brown hair.
They're fucking Aryan breeders, bro, and they need to be taken out. They need to be stopped. Alexander the Great realized this a long time ago, a system of racial deconstruction. Alexander the Great wanted everyone to keep fucking each other till they were the same color. He wanted to do the opposite.
Let's just keep doing that.
Let's keep doing that.
And he had boyfriends.
I'm doing my part. We're all doing our parts.
Yeah. So he was the opposite of like, no, stay with your own.
My kids are fucking mudbloods, dude.
We're muddying up the water. Well, I mean, I'm not going
to
have any.
That's why he'd like go conquer a place and he'd fuck everyone there. You know? Well, I mean, he's like, oh, we're going to India. I'm going to fuck.
That's just having fun. That's what that is. I'm not trying to have no kids, but we do.
He's like, it's Caligula time, bitch.
We
do that
everywhere we go.
Anyway, wait a minute.
Where do we go?
I mean, okay, so clearly 1980 is better.
Do you think Jason Voorhees jacks off?
No.
You don't think he's
the mom? The guilt? This guy's like the ultimate Christian.
No,
fucking,
he fucks animals for sure.
No, he doesn't fuck anything, Matt. Mommy will not let him do that.
He fucks.
His libido goes. His libido goes entirely to killing.
Hey, mommy can't watch all the time.
You could like read into that. That's what's going on.
What's he do when there's not people around?
You think he jizzes when he kills?
He lives in the fucking lake where he belongs, and it's the water, and it's the unconscious below the surface with the moonlight and his mother protecting him.
He only lives at the bottom of the lake in certain movies.
He's just the id, bro.
This movie clearly states that he lives in the
woods.
Horror
fans understand Jason at all, dude?
He's got a fuck
horror
tunnel,
dude.
Horror
fans love this.
In the remake, anyways.
He's got a love shack. That's what that is.
Fuck shack.
No, it's a love shack. It's
this remake is.
I like what you said. That's when he takes. So if you kill Jason, which would be scary as fuck, right? Because you're like, oh, you know what? Let's pick him up and take him to the lake.
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't.
I would have kept that mask. That's for damn sure.
You wouldn't have done any of that. Like, who would and how would you?
No,
drag
I would have been like, let's
the
get
lake.
The fuck out of here. Yeah. I don't care.
That's exactly what you would do.
Because like they didn't own that house. Like I don't even know where the fuck they were at the end, or was it still the rich douchebag's house?
It's the rich douchebag.
And they were showing that house too, and the bodies weren't there.
Yeah, it's like okay.
So that means they cleaned up the body. So it's like these people were up all night running from Jason, then they decided to like clean up.
Maybe they planned on living there. They're like, you know what? Like now nobody kind of owns this place. Even though
no other
guy's
cops,
fucking parents, like
even
still
though a cop came
home.
And he got killed, there no other cops with are going to show up.
Yeah. None of it makes any fucking sense.
I would have fucking split. Hella split.
Yeah. And none of the character motivations
make like a tree and split.
Yep.
What did you think of the gratuitous sex scene?
I was very much a fan. Of which one? All of them? Yeah.
Well, there's two. I mean,
There's two
sex scenes. The one where the, you know, with the juicy tits, the guy says.
Oh, the beginning
stupendous
one? Stupendous
tits.
No, the stupendous. And then like,
he didn't call him juicy. He's like, dude, your tits are so juicy.
Yeah. And by the way, Jacob just fucking messaged about that. There's so much to talk about. The bow and arrow. The stupendous tits.
Okay, Jacob, we covered it.
We got it covered. No, it's good. It's good that we're seeing the same things in this film.
Stupendous tits.
Even that, though, is like they literally had a sex scene where it didn't end with them getting like hacked in half. And I'm like, dude, how?
I mean, they did at the end, like after the fact.
But that's so. It's like, that's not what you have a sex scene in a Jason movie for. I don't want to see
that's
a full
sex
scene.
Sex scenes in Halloween for.
Yeah. Well, like, you want to see him get killed mid-sex.
Well, I mean,
like, I remember there was one of the Friday the 13th.
The sex scene that continued was the girl with the really nice boobs, though.
That's true.
And then you got to see Willa Ford's boobs again, like, in the water. That scene, okay, I do love that scene where she's, like, under the dock, and she gets stabbed in the head, and they pull her up.
He pulls her up so they can see the boobs.
One more look at the boobs.
So that's kind of, I mean, at least to me, that's like a throwback to, like, Friday the 13th 2, I think.
Halloween.
This girl gets in bed naked, and she covers up, and then she immediately turns the blankets down just to below her tits.
Hmm.
I love how every time I start talking, you both pull out your phones.
What are you talking about?
We got a thing from Jacob.
Oh, do we? Because I don't have any notifications. I'm still engaged in this conversation.
You're talking about tits.
Conversation that we're having. That
about tits.
We're expecting people to listen to.
About tits.
About tits. And how nice they are. And how much I appreciate when they're shown comically.
I'm in.
Okay. So. Let's review real quick. Hills Have Eyes, original versus remake. We all unilaterally agree.
Remake.
I didn't hate the original, neither does Matt. You don't hate it, but you think it's trash, basically.
He kind of hated it.
I kind of hated it.
You kind of hate it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Dawn of the Dead. Original and remake. we're not really fans of
kind
either.
Kind of fucking hated the original.
If I gotta watch one, I'm watching the remake every time though.
Yeah, I don't want to watch either.
I don't want to watch either.
I'd rather watch The Happening or The Wicker Man. I've got insomnia,
and I really need to get to bed.
There's some stuff in the Dawn of the Dead remake that's actually kind of fun.
I mean, yeah.
The montage.
I mean.
Of rebuilding the buses.
But even diarrhea is great for the weight loss. So, like.
And also, it feels good on the way out.
It's true. Well, I mean, not when there's a lot of it and it's hot.
Nightmare on Elm Street. Original versus remake is the most obvious sentence ever made, right?
The original skeets all over the remake.
Skeets. It skeets from the window to the wall.
It skeets on any of these original movies we've watched so far.
Yeah.
I mean, frankly, would you say that with Friday the 13th versus Nightmare on Elm Street? And I know that's hard for you to say but you have to be objective.
Yeah. Okay.
Not the series, not the character.
What I think is a better movie.
A better part one?
Nightmare on Elm Street. The movie of the two that I like more is Friday the 13th.
Because you have to.
No, just because that's...
Because that's your religion.
That's more my wheelhouse.
Because you're like a Bush supporter, but for Friday the 13th.
No, me still
breathing. Like, you're a Trump ad, but for Friday the 13th.
Because Nightmare on Elm Street, it's less, you know... Sex
good,
and
less fun.
It's less sex and violence, you know. It's more, I mean, it gets real fucking hokey later, so it does get pretty fun later. But like, I remember when Freddy vs. Jason was about to come out, I went to the Fangoria Weekend of Horrors and they had a panel with like the directors and shit. And the question that I asked was, Friday the 13th is known for excessive amounts of nudity, and A Nightmare on Elm Street, not so much. What are we gonna get with Freddy vs. Jason? And like, it's a very valid question, you know? So like, tits, blood and gore is what I get with Friday the 13th. I get, you know, some cerebral dream shit with Nightmare on Elm Street.
I actually, speaking of Freddy vs. Jason, I actually, when it came out, but even when I rewatched it recently, I appreciate the premise they came up with to get them together, you know, and how Freddy was using Jason as a stand-in. Like
as an avatar
to get, yeah. I thought that was pretty
clever.
Stir up some fear and all that. And then also, like, I loved the scene personally where Freddy's getting in Jason's head and he's like a baby and he's drowning him and all that shit.
Cause I'm like,
cause you're team Jason.
No, because he's never been afraid of water before. Yeah. He drowned in water, but he comes in and out of the lake. Like no fucking problem.
Oh no, it's a visual.
Yeah, but the fact that Jason is afraid of water, like he's coming with his fucking machete to get Freddy, and then there's water, and he goes, "Ugh, it's wet. My mom said I can't get wet."
That's pretty dumb in that sense, yeah.
Stupid as fuck, dude. But they're like, I like this scene. I like the scene that completely just throws every movie out the window.
I like that Jason was in his world, is what I mean, where he got to, because Jason's a physical dude.
Because Jason dreams, you know.
Jason is.
So Jason doesn't jerk off, but he can dream.
If he's sedated enough.
Fair enough.
Like you know.
So if he's horny enough, he can't just jerk his dick?
Not what mommy won't let him, dude.
Dude, but mommy's not always there. Just, I don't know if
mommy is always there. Like Norman Bates. Mommy's
head is there, but he could just turn her head around and then she can't watch him flog the dolphin.
He's basically like Norman Bates, like times 10 with the mommy.
Yeah, but even Norman Bates kept his mom in the basement so he could jerk his dick.
Norman Bates probably fucked his mom's skull hole. Well, Jason
probably did too.
Jason won't. He's not like that, dude.
You know,
because he loves mother.
I just figured it out. He's Jason.
How is he Jason?
He doesn't want to he doesn't want to desanctify the idea of
I grew up Mormon. I know Jason.
Yeah, he knows, dude.
Jason's not Mormon. Well,
I guess all those
bitches were Mormon. Yeah.
You know, there was like the
they were all sinning.
There is the whole discussion about slasher movies being, you know, to get kids to fucking It was a conspiracy theory that the government, in order to push religion, made these movies to make kids afraid of like drinking and smoking and having sex.
Mm. Well, you could read that it's unintentionally even like it is that it's those kind of Puritan values, right? Like it's just them manifesting themselves in the most goofy way possible. Like if you drink or have sex at camp, you're going to get killed. And it's like that whole fear of fire and brimstone and fucking judgment and, you know, all that shit. Yep. It's just like writ large on the screen, dude.
All right, well, that's it for Friday the 13th, 1980-2009. 1980 is a film. 2009 is a piece of shit. Yeah, that's it. That's Who Goes There Podcast simply. 281. This is Jorge signing out.
This is Matt. What are you going to say, Rhett?
This is Rhett. Next week is the Hellraiser trilogy.
Ugh.
Yeah, aren't we having...
Yeah!
And we're having...
Your racist friend?
The, I have such D to show you.
we're going to... Yeah. We're going to have Kyle from Blind Tiger.
His name is Kyle,
Ramen.
Too. Are you going to be Kyle next week?
No, look, dude, look.
Battle of the Kyle.
I've already told him the things that you've said. He's not giving you a bowl.
Oh, you mean so he doesn't listen to the show?
I'm going to bring a bowl of actual ramen.
Get swole, eat bowl.
Get swole, eat bowl.
No, you won't.
Yeah. Yeah, I will. I'll bring actual ramen and be like, check this out, dude. I could buy ramen from that fucking means, actual Japanese
That means you're
going
to have to go to a Japanese person to get
I'm
ramen.
I'm
going
to have to go to a store.
You can't just buy it from a white person.
Too
like
bad
Kyle.
We live 200 miles from the city. Yeah. What the fuck is his deal?
If you don't show up next week with ramen, like you just lost all credibility.
You could also just be thankful for the free food.
You said he's not giving me a bowl.
You also implied he doesn't listen to the show.
He so was. Like, he knows I'm playing. He's Kyle.
Oh, look at him backtracking, trying to get ramen now.
No, I just don't want. Like, I don't want our guests to
go buy ramen now.
I don't. I'm just having fun.
All right, idiot.
And I love Hocus Pocus too.
We'll
I love that movie.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Bro, it's a Disney kids movie.
Yeah. It's a Disney kids movie. There's no good Disney kids movies.
Bye.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.